Right, yeah, I was feeling a bit down, so I thought I'll play that one because I was burgled earlier on in the week, and all they took were my sermon preparation notes for today. And there was a little note along the side, and it said, "Thanks from Bishop Michael Curry for giving me some ideas for my sermon for the royal wedding." Because when I heard him preaching, I thought, he's nicked my sermon notes. No, he hadn't. That was just a story, that. There are some similarities. So as we're going through, please don't say, "That's what Bishop Curry said," because I said it first. And I'm sure he's been on our podcast.
We believe
you have it. Yeah, of course you do. Yeah. Yep. Right, well, this Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. Yes, it's the time when we emphasise the work of the Holy Spirit. It's an exciting time. And next Sunday is Trinity Sunday. Oh. So what I thought I'd do, seeing as the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit is to bring glory to somebody else, to bring glory to Jesus Christ, to bring glory to the Father. So I thought, what we'll do, we'll wrap these two things together. The Trinity, which is a difficult subject, and the work of the Holy Spirit. So we'll work through that. So you'll need to think a bit. Don't worry if the things you don't understand. There are probably bits I don't understand either. So just enjoy the bits that you do understand. And that's basically when we're looking at the Trinity, we cannot understand God fully. But the bits that we can understand are exciting and bring us joy. I remember when I first discovered the Trinity doctrine, you know, that God is three, but God is one. I was so excited about it. I know, yeah, because I know I'm dull and boring, but generally, I thought it was brilliant. I thought, and it opened up a whole new vista on what God is all about. And nearly every area of life, if you think God as triune, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, yet one God, it will revolutionise your thinking on any particular subject. So we can't fully understand God. But the bits that we can understand should bring us joy and excitement. So, back to our title, God Modelled Mission. So, what does that mean? Well, mission means going out into the world, telling people about Jesus Christ. Model means an example that you've set to show somebody else how to do it. So God modeled mission means God has shown us a way, given us an example of how to do mission. And that's what we're going to look at today. So it should be exciting. I hope it'll be exciting. But first of all, we've got to start thinking, what do we mean by God? Because if God's given us a model, we need to know what God, to the limits of our understanding anyway. And we'll just read through our main passage for today, Luke 3, verses 21 to 22. It's just a short passage. One day, when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. As he was praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy." So what's happening here? It's strange. I mean, the big question, why would Jesus need to be baptized? But we'll look at that some other time. Three people or three persons are mentioned. There's the Father, who's in heaven. There's Jesus, the man on earth, who God says, "You are my dearly beloved son." And there's the Holy Spirit that's coming down from heaven as well. So what's going on here? That immediately should challenge our concept that there's just one God. There is just one God, but it's a bit more complicated than that. So first of all, let's look at God. There is only one God. Yeah, we all believe that, don't we? The Jewish Shema in Deuteronomy 6:4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." The Father is God. No doubts about that. Jesus prayed to his Father in heaven and prayed to him as God. But what about Jesus, the Son? The Bible says that he is God as well. There's no doubt he's human. If you look at the bit after I've just read, which was one of the things I should be preaching on as well, but I couldn't face it. Just have a look, you'll see why. Jesus was a human being. There's no two ways about that. But if he was just a human being, he said some peculiar things, some mighty peculiar things. Like, if I were to ask you, what were you doing when the First World War broke out? Were you born then, Tony? I thought you... But most of us, of an average age, were saying, what? I was doing nothing, I wasn't born. But just let me read something that Jesus said from John chapter 8, verses 52, I think it's 52 to 59. This is Jesus having a bit of a dispute with the Jews. The people said, now we know you are possessed by a demon. This is them talking to Jesus. Abraham and the prophets died. But you say, anyone who obeys my teaching will never die. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? There's that sense of ridicule. Who do you think you are? You're a nutcase. And Jesus answered, if I want glory for myself, it doesn't count, but it is my Father who will glorify me. You say he is our God, but you don't even know him. I know him. If I said otherwise, I would be a greater liar as you. But I do know him and obey him. Your father Abraham rejoiced as he looked forward to my coming. Fascinating. He saw it and was glad. That's like saying, Kaiser Bill knew about me in the future and looked forward to my coming. You know, it's not going to happen, is it? The people said, you aren't even 50 years old. How can you say you have seen Abraham? Now listen to this. And they get again, they're ridiculing, aren't they? And you say you've seen Abraham? And Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was even born, I am. Whoa, that's a bad grammatical mistake by Jesus there, wasn't it? You think they'd ridicule it even more. He's not even educated. Can't even speak English. Well, whatever they spoke, they weren't English, was it? I am. Before Abraham was born, I am. Suddenly things change. There is now a change. The people are getting quite aggressive now. At that point, they picked up stones to throw at him. That's strange. Suddenly the whole thing had changed. Now why? Do we know what the punishment for blasphemy is? Stoning. So the Jews were knowing straight away. It's not so clear for us, but the Jews would know the Old Testament. They knew immediately he was claiming to be God, Yahweh of the Old Testament. That's interesting. And if we go then to Exodus 3:14, which is probably something those Jews would know inside out. Exodus 3:13. This is Moses talking. But Moses protested. God has said, look, I'm going to get you out of the promised land. I'm going to help you get the Jews out. Now go and tell them, the Jews, that I'm going to do it and I'm sending you. And Moses protested, if I go to the people of Israel and tell them, the God of our ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask me, what is his name? This God that sent you, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. You see, I am is a derivative of the name of God in the Old Testament, Yahweh. So when Jesus said, before Abraham was born, I am, he was saying, my name was Yahweh. I'm God. I'm the God who appeared to Moses. I'm the God who appeared to Abraham. Isn't that fascinating? Amen. I'm getting excited now. I love this. I love Jesus in the Old Testament. So Jesus clearly is claiming to be God. So he's human, but
but he's a God. So there, we're sort of heading towards the doctrine of the Trinity now. There's only one true God, yet the Father's God, yet Jesus is claiming to be God. What about the Holy Spirit then? The other person that was involved in this baptism. There's a lot about the Holy Spirit. We'll move on quickly. One verse, Hebrews 9:14. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Holy Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? See, only God is eternal. I'm not eternal. You are not. You had a beginning. Yeah, God doesn't have a beginning. So if Holy Spirit is eternal, then the Holy Spirit must be God. That's strange, isn't it? Let's pull all that together. You're saying there is only one God, but within this one God, there are three distinct persons. The Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Can't get our heads around that, can we? God is one, yet God is three. So what do? Do we refuse to believe the Bible? Many cults do that. They refuse to believe the Bible and they produce a God they can understand. If Dawn was here, she'd tell you about Jehovah's Witnesses. Jesus is merely a man, maybe an angel at best. There's only one true God. So they've made God something they can understand. Then he's not God at all, is he? Me, a mere mortal, can understand fully God. Then he can't be that much of a God. So I go with a biblical revelation. Don't understand it, but I know it's true. And might give you a simple definition there. There is only one true God who's revealed himself as three distinct persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, each person equally and fully God. Right, we'll move on now. If you want to know more about that, there's some brilliant books on the Trinity. You can get them from anywhere. Buy one, get one. Get one from the library and read up about that. Now, you're all probably thinking, yeah, but does that matter? It's all right for boring little people like you. All you can do at night when you can't sleep is read about the Trinity. Does it matter? I maintain it matters because if you don't understand, you don't believe in the Trinity, you've got a different God to me who's not the relational God that I know. So, it tells us that God has always existed as a community. You know the Apostle John, what does he write? God is love. Not God is loving, God is love. Because John knew, because he wrote the gospel there, John knew that God has existed in a community of love for all eternity. So God is love because he's a community where love is the main ingredient. God is love. So, what does that mean? Does it make a lot of difference? First of all, God's love for us. We all believe Jesus died on a cross, a painful and horrible death, so that my sins could be forgiven. He took my place on the cross, therefore I could be forgiven and be with him for all eternity. So let's think if Jesus is just a man. It's not going to hurt God all that much, is it? In other words, he got some Jewish guy who did the dirty work and died on a cross so our sins can be forgiven. It's not a great deal of love, is it? But just imagine God's own son who he had this love relationship with for all eternity. That's all they've done. Lived to bless one another, to love one another. They must be so close, we couldn't imagine it as finite people. And he sent this son to die a painful death on a cross. You know, when Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was God's son crying out to his father. And do you know what the father did? Turned his face away because he was bearing my sin and your sin. And God couldn't stand to look on his own dear son who he'd loved for all eternity. Doesn't that say something a bit more about God's love for you than just a mere man dying on a cross? God's grace. Here we come, God's grace. You know that's got to come. Why did God create human beings? You see, if God is only one, if there's not a community there, then we could say God got lonely on his own, so he created human beings. In other words, we were for his benefit. But if God's existed in a relationship, a community for all eternity, why did he create human beings? To mess it up, basically. Because he wanted to bless us. Yeah? That's God's grace. He lives to bless us. And the Trinity proves that, the doctrine of the Trinity. So no matter what you're up to in your walk with God, no matter what you've done wrong, God is always looking for ways to bless you. That's what the doctrine of the Trinity says to me. So let's move on. Let's look at the ingredients of God's model for mission. God is love. God is more than loving. He is a perfect love relationship within his being. And it would seem natural, wouldn't it, for this God to just exist like that forevermore as this loving community. But no, God's love was outward looking. Amazingly, he created human beings who messed it up, who sinned, who were just ready just to die because of the sin that God couldn't look on. But what did God do? The Father sent his only Son, Jesus Christ. See, it was an outward-looking community. Father sent his own Son, Jesus Christ. For this is how God loved the world, John 3:16. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Not only that, the Father and the Son then sent the Holy Spirit to be our helper, comforter, encourager, our counsellor, John 15:26. There's this loving community of the Trinity looking outwards, sending the Son out, sending the Holy Spirit out. Wasn't easy. So what's the summary of God's model, if you like, for a church, for the church community? It's got to be a loving community. And we see some loving communities as churches, and they never even dream of looking out. They want to keep the club nice. They don't want not nice people coming in who don't know when to stand up and sit down. But the Trinity doctrine says, no, that's wrong. That is not the church I want, because I'm modelling in my own being what a church should be like. A loving community that looks outside itself and takes action. That's the model. So let's relate that to, got rid of all the brainy stuff now. Let's relate that to SVC. First of all, we've got to be a loving community. Yeah, well, how can we do that? We're all abject sinners. We're all prone to argue and quarrel, aren't we? Yep. But what did God do? He sent the Holy Spirit. Even though our sins have been forgiven by Jesus on the cross, God sent the Holy Spirit to encourage us to grow in love. We've preached on it. Galatians 5:22. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, that's the fruit that you'll see developing. We weren't meant to be like Paul Simon's rock. There is some tenuous link. Rock and an island. We're not meant to be like that. Some of the words, I built walls. We shouldn't be building walls around ourselves and around our church. A fortress deep and mighty that none may penetrate. That's not the church of Jesus Christ. I have no need of friendship. Friendship causes pain. We know that, don't we? Even for God it caused pain. When God the Father sent the Son, that friendship caused him pain. It's laughter and it's loving I disdain. I won't disturb the slumber of feelings that have died. If I never loved, I never would have cried. Yeah? So I want to see people crying in this church because they've loved and been hurt. That's why we have a hospital, a spiritual hospital. We will cry because we love and we will be hurt. Hiding in my room, safe within my womb, I touch no one and no one touches me. I am a rock. I am an island. See, we're not created to be an unfeeling rock or an unapproachable island. We're created to be active members of a loving community that cares for one another. Paul said, doesn't he, when he's talking about the body of Christ, that's the church, when one of us cries, we all cry. And one of us laughs, we all laugh. That's just, that's not reality, but that's the feeling. And I've sensed that since Margaret died. We've all cried together. We cried at the funeral. We've cried, I know, at our life group, we had an open prayer meeting, and it was all about Margaret, and how we missed her. It hurts, because Margaret became a part of our loving community. So it is costly. But this is God's model for his church. And a lot of what we do at SVC is aimed at helping a loving community to develop. We meet together at 4:30 to eat. Could I say, that's when our service starts, at 4:30, when we eat together. Because that's part of our mission. That's part of us becoming a loving community like the Trinity. Yeah? Now, I know some of you can't make it. I'm not pointing fingers or anything like that. But this is the idea. We eat together. We care for one another. We can talk. You can say, look, I've had a lousy week. Bishop Michael nicked my sermon notes. You know, something like that. Life groups. Life groups are great, aren't they? Where we can meet once a week in the evening to share our concerns, pray for one another, love for one another, be hurt with one another, laugh with one another. Days out, again, these are great times, aren't they? I have some lovely conversations on days out because I'm not sort of concerned about what's the worship going to be like, what's the preacher going to be like, you know. Do I need to step in and preach instead of him or her? You know, that sort of thing. All these things are going through my mind. When we go out on a day out, I can just be myself and talk and develop that community. So why not get more involved? Come at 4:30. Let's eat together. Join a life group. Join the social events. The community here is great. I'm not saying it's not. We can make it better if we all pull through. Secondly, we've got to be an outward-looking community like the Trinity. Trinity, God the Father sent the Son, God the Father and the Son sent the Holy Spirit out into the world. We should always be looking outward. And again, God sent the Holy Spirit to help us. What does he say in Acts 1:8? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Again, God's provided us a way of doing it. He's provided the Holy Spirit to live in us. And as you know, our main outreach is Christians Against Poverty. It's where we go out and show the love of Jesus Christ. Why not get involved in that? Have a word with Barbara if you think there's something you can do. Or even if you think there's nothing you can do, there probably is something you can do. We're always in need of volunteers to help with our Christians Against Poverty. In 2 or 3 weeks' time, we've got Barry Woodward. I noted that earlier on. Why not bring a friend? Just go to your friend and invite somebody along. You know, we don't bite, do we, generally? Not all the time. Days out, Guy's Thatched Hamlet. Bring a friend along. It's a great time. Just getting to know people. People getting to know us and know that, like, we're not two horns on or something like that. That we're not going to be normal, but we're reasonably normal. So this concept of community, of family, of reaching out, is mimicked by... It's coming up. No. That's the... Yeah. Lee Centurions. Look what it says. Bring your family. It's reaching out. It's saying, look, come to us. Bring your family. What? And become part of ours. Hey? This is a great strap line for evangelism, isn't it? And there you see all the players just talking to the supporters as though they're one family. There is a Christian influence at Lee Centurions. No, seriously, there is. They pray. I know it's not what we'd expect 100%. They pray before they go out to play rugby. Even when they kept losing, they were still praying. And they kept saying to me, "We're going to get another chaplain. You're not praying very well, are you?" So I just think that's a copy. That's what we should be doing in reality. So, finally, I am finishing now. The doctrine of the Trinity, it's impossible to understand. But I hope you can see, if you acknowledge that there's only one God, but within that God there's plurality, there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, living in community, in perfect loving community, reaching out to a lost world, disturbing the peace, disturbing the love and friendship, reaching out into the world and blessing people. Once you understand that, it makes a big difference to how you see church. So let's take hold of the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's determine to be more loving. Let's get involved in things that build our community. And the difficult, let's be more courageous in our witnessing. Let's get involved in things that take the gospel out to people. Yeah? Let's be like the Trinity, loving community, reaching out to a world that's lost. See, through the doctrine of the Trinity, we have a glimpse of what God wants his church to be like. I think it's a brilliant glimpse. And I'm so excited about the doctrine of the Trinity. I want you to be excited about it as well. You rarely hear the doctrine of the Trinity mentioned, did you? The bishop didn't mention it. Now, I don't expect him to at a wedding, you know. But it was brilliant. And it's one of the best messages I've ever heard at a royal wedding. I've done a few weddings, so it's not the best at all weddings. Yet it was lacking. And I can understand why. It was lacking because it didn't talk about Jesus dying a cross for my sin, for your sin. Yeah, it was just talking about love, which is one aspect of it. So let's reach out there as a loving community. Let's reach out into our community and let's see a church that's vibrant with the love of Jesus Christ. Yeah, we're on a journey. Let's go for it. Amen. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are a God we don't understand or can't even understand. We thank you that you show us a way that there is a loving community that we need to build and create, that's a shadow of what you are, of course, but you want us to aim for that. And you want us to reach out into the world with the love of Jesus Christ. Father, help us to do that. Help us to be a growing community that loves you and loves other people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.